We are in a conversation in the Gospel of John, and we're continuing that conversation today, looking at John 18. Have you ever been unfairly treated? Okay, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? Have you ever been? I remember when I got a spanking from my mom after my brother bit me. He bit me, I hit him, she didn't know he bit me, right? And so, you know, it wasn't, you know, I got the spanking, I was like, what else? I filed my complaint, and then I showed her my leg and the bite and the blood that was coming in. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I still remember that. See, it's made an indelible impression upon me. And injustice. Ah, it happens, doesn't it? Sometimes accidentally and sometimes on purpose, injustice happened. But have you ever had a situation where somebody brought your character into question? Where your character was like brought into question by people and there was nothing you could do to defend yourself? And sometimes maybe in your saying things it actually got worse? And you found that silence was the best thing to do? Those scenarios are terrible. Yet Jesus experienced them during his interrogation by the high priest and by the judge, Pilate. He was unfairly accused by the religious and political leaders. While Jesus remained the ultimate high priest, the book of Hebrews tells us that he is the ultimate high priest. He is the one making intercession between God and us. He is the mediator between God and us. He is the high priest, Jesus Christ. When Jesus is the one who will eventually judge the world and set it straight again, and yet he was being judged by the human, by the created. The creator was being judged by the created. Well, Judas, you remember him, he was already cooperating with the religious leaders to execute Jesus. So in the middle of the night, after Jesus was extracted from the garden in prayer, Jesus was taken to the high priest, Annas. He was the father-in-law of the serving high priest. You see, the high priest rotated that position, but it was all kept in the family. So it was at Annas' house that Jesus was interrogated first. He was taken inside. And inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers and what he had been teaching them. And Jesus replied, "Everyone knows what I teach. I have preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple where the people gather. I have not spoken in secret. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said." Jesus was attacked by the religious, but he remained honest. Now get it, these are Jesus' homies, right? They are his people. These are people he'd been hanging out with in the temple. These high priests had been looking over. This was his nation. This was the people that he was coming to die for. And the Jews had a legal system that said, you can't be accused and you don't have to testify against yourself. It's like that Fifth Amendment. We don't have to testify against ourselves. It's Judeo-Christian ethic from the Mishnah, which was the Jewish writing of the day. So Jesus didn't have to testify against himself, and he was saying, you have no witnesses here. Go get some witnesses. They will tell you what I said. That's what the law says, but they weren't abiding by the law. They had predetermined what they wanted, and that was the execution of Jesus. Sometimes we see that in our culture today, don't we? That someone is predetermined, we already judge them before they've ever had their trial, right? Sometimes that happens. Jesus is saying, you have no witnesses, you are stepping outside the realm of the law, the Judeo law here. Stop it. Go ask people what I have said. I have said it openly. Jesus was honest. When we are questioned sometimes about our faith, it would be good if we were just honest. When we are questioned and accused, wouldn't it be good if we were just honest? He said, Jesus said about himself what no other religious leader has ever said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. He said it in John 14, it's recorded. This was what Jesus was saying, that I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection and the life. That's who I am. I have been open with it. I have said it, and I will not back down from what I have said. All Jesus really needed to do was say, yeah, I recant of all this stuff. I recant of everything I've said, and I am not the Son of God. I am merely a man, or I am merely a prophet, but he didn't. He didn't change his message. He held to the truth. And we need to hold to the truth. When it's popular and when it's not popular, let us stand for the truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to earth, born of a virgin. He died on a cross to forgive us of our sin. He rose from the dead on the third day. And one day, he will come back to earth, and he will judge the world and set things right again. This is our faith. I believe in God the Father. We sang it. Let us not compromise in the middle of inquisition. Let us stand firm in the truth, because Jesus is the truth. People usually only lie when it benefits them, right? Have you ever lied when it didn't benefit you? Oh, yeah, you guys have never lied, right? Mm-hmm. There was no benefit to telling the truth here. Jesus had no benefit in telling the truth, but he told the truth, and the truth would only lead him to death row. Our observation is, be honest. When you're being falsely accused, be honest. Don't try to cover up the truth. Be honest with your faith. Be honest with your actions. Be honest with your words. Let your faith shine when it's questioned. Let your faith shine. Jesus was also overt. He wasn't doing things covertly or in secret. He wasn't trying to overthrow the government. He didn't care. He wasn't trying to overthrow the religious leaders. He didn't care. This was not his kingdom. His was a much bigger kingdom. It was much fuller. He didn't want control of Israel. That wasn't his gig. He knew that he was the high priest of all. He was the judge of all, not just of Israel. And Jesus said, I have been open. I haven't been sneaky. I've been preaching in the public square. You know what I have said. I have been open. Be open with your faith. Be vulnerable and open with your life. Don't live in secret life. Don't have a secret life. Live an open life. Live an overt life. Be open with your faith. Be a proud follower of Jesus. Don't be an arrogant follower of Jesus. Be a humble follower of Jesus. But don't back down from, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Sometimes we back away from those conversations with humility. Step into them. Say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he's the hope of the world. I believe he's the answer to most of the problems that we have. That's an amen button right there. In case you guys missed it, that's what that is. Be proud to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus' interrogation went on in Annas' house, and this is what happened. Then one of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face. Whoa, we've taken it to a new level now, haven't we? There's one thing about, you know, irritating questions, but when you start smacking me across the face, it gets serious stuff, right? They smacked him across the face. Is that the way you answer the high priest, he demanded. And Jesus replied, if I said anything wrong, you must prove it. Find a witness that I said anything wrong. But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me? Jesus had self-control in the middle of interrogation. Self-control. How many of you would love to have more self-control? I would love to have more self-control. Do you have self-control when provoked? Okay? When someone's trying to provoke you and get a negative response from you, it just irritates you already. Don't you feel your blood boiling just a little bit when you even think about that? You weren't doing anything wrong, but they started provoking you, trying to get you to do something wrong. Have you ever had anybody in your life like that? I'm telling you, did you ever have a sibling? If you had a sibling, you know what I'm talking about. To all you only children, you need to marry somebody who irritates you every now and then, you know, provokes you just a little bit. They were trying to make it your fault, and they tried to provoke you to do something that would be damaging to you, to your character, or make you the villain in the situation when you weren't. Some have had bosses who have tried to get them to provoke them by giving them the worst hours and the worst jobs and the terrible office and the terrible working conditions and trying to drive them out of the company, trying to provoke them so that they would quit, or trying to provoke them so that they would do something wrong so they could write them up, so they could get rid of them out of the company. It's hard when you're being provoked. And the Jewish leaders, they don't have anything on Jesus that they don't already know. So they slap him in the face to provoke him. And what would you do? My grandfather had a teaching that was not from Jesus. And he said, hit them before they hit you. That's what I got to say. That is not Jesus talking. That's Grandpa talking. You know, he sort of messed up that scripture. He says, you know, vengeance is mine and I will repay. And he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He just said, vengeance is mine and I will repay. And that's the way it'll be. And pretty much to 86, he was that way. You know, I would be like, do you guys have a body cam on? We're taking this to a higher court. We're going to look at this video and we're going to get us some FBI agents in here because this is unfair. This is not right. And we're not going to tolerate it. Right? That's right. But Jesus doesn't respond to the person in front of him. He responds to the spirit inside him. Jesus knew where he was headed, and he was walking in that direction with purpose. And he knew what that purpose was. Have you ever been in a situation where you responded to the person in front of you and not to the spirit inside you? And when you left, you were sorry that you responded the way you responded, even though you may have had the right idea and the right thing, and you were on the right side of the issue, your response was negative because of how you responded in it. Jesus knew. He knew he was on the right side of this whole story. He knew where he was headed. He knew what was all happening. And he was responding to the spirit inside him and not to the person in front of him. There have been times when I have responded negatively. And I've never been happy when I walked away. And there have been times when you have been treated unjustly and you have not responded, but you always walked away with your integrity intact. You always walked away with your character intact when you listened to the spirit inside you. And it's much better to walk away with your integrity and your character than to walk away winning the battle. Because sometimes in winning, you lose the relationship and you lose the other person. And you lose your opportunity to share Jesus with them. Self-control is what happens when we respond to the spirit inside us and not to the person in front of us. It's hard to do, especially at 4 or 5 in the morning when you've been slapped in the face, huh? It's hard for me to do anything at 4 or 5 in the morning. It's hard for me to make coffee at 4 or 5 in the morning. I can't imagine if I got walloped, you know? How do you respond when negative things happen? Christ is demonstrating godly character. The spiritual gift of self-control is on exhibition right here. Jesus was the real person in charge. He was the real one with the purpose in the moment. He knew where he was headed. He was good with it. And he was standing for the truth and nothing but the truth. So help him God. Yeah. Many times you may disagree with Jesus, but Jesus is still right. The high priests were disagreeing with Jesus that what he said was wrong, but Jesus was still the truth. This was the truth. When we find ourselves in disagreement with Jesus, we need to know that we are wrong, and Jesus is right. I tell you often that I have problems with the scripture. Love your neighbors as yourself, you know. Yeah, that one gives me all kind of... Love your enemies. Don't you wish that wasn't in there? Yeah, if it wasn't in there, I wouldn't have to do it, right? But when I disagree with it, this is right, and I'm wrong. And I'm wrong. I don't like it, but Jesus is right, and he is truth. So when we find ourselves in a disagreement with scriptures, we line ourselves up with it. We recognize that we are wrong, and God is right. In culture right now, they're often hear that the Bible is an ancient teaching that doesn't apply to us today. People don't think that way anymore. Jesus is still the truth. And you have the right to be wrong. But Jesus is still the truth, and what he said is still the absolute truth of God. Soft push on that one. I suggest when you find yourself in disagreement with God, you align yourself with him. Don't set yourself up to be the high priest of your own life and try to mediate your relationship with God on your terms. But let your relationship with God be mediated by the one who died on a cross for you, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, they took Jesus on to Caiaphas' house, and then in the early morning hours, they went over to the Roman headquarters of Pilate. Pilate, he lived down by the sea normally in Caesarea, and I've been there, and that's a great place to live, right on the Mediterranean coast, you know, there, and that's where they would live. But during, like, Passover times, which this was, Pilate went up to Jerusalem to watch out for things over the temple, because usually at that time of year, there was a lot more violence, there was a lot more negative things happening in Jerusalem, so he would be there. So he was in his headquarters, and the Jewish leadership took Jesus over. They knew what they wanted. They wanted to ramrod the execution of Jesus through before Passover and get it all taken care of. The religious people went to Pilate's door, but they couldn't go into Pilate's court and into his house because he was a Gentile. If they went into the Gentile's house, they were considered unclean and couldn't celebrate Passover. They would have to delay it, so they couldn't do that. Their religious rules were holding them confined, and yet the attitude of their heart was in a total wrong place. But their religious rules were confining them concerning Pilate. So Pilate, in graciousness, came out to them in these early morning hours. Can you imagine if we decided that one of you was theologically messed up with New Life Church and Coach Ryan grabbed you and took you over to the courthouse, and we demanded that a judge come out because we couldn't go in to the courthouse, and so the judge favored us and came out on the steps, and we said, we have a problem with this guy at New Life Church. And he said, what's the problem? What did he do? We theologically disagree with him. And the judge would say, state and religion, we don't mix them in this country. Y'all do what you want over there. But we want to kill him, Brendan would say. I And you can't do that, right? You can't do that. You can't do that. You haven't given us the right to do that, or we would take care of it ourselves, you know? And Pilate did what, you know, he said, Jews, I only want you to live in peace over here. That's all I want. That's why I'm here from Rome. I'm here to make sure that there's peace in Israel. I want you to live in peace, and I want you to pay taxes. That's the only two things I ask of you. And you can run your own little religious thing. I really don't care. But you can't kill somebody. And they said, but that's exactly what we want to do. That's why we need you. And so we have the judge of the moment giving a verdict for the judge of the world. Do people still judge Jesus today? Yeah, they do. They still judge Jesus. They judge his deeds, his actions. Some people say they never happen. Some people say it's just a story. People judge his words, though, most severely. It couldn't be true. He couldn't be the Son of God. He's merely a prophet. He was merely a man. He was not God. That's not true. I believe Jesus is the hope of the world. I believe he is the only hope for the world. Pilate, the judge, Caiaphas, Annas, the priest, collaborate, and they move toward the execution of Jesus. Religion, you know, is not what Jesus is about, because religion is about rules and regulations, and Jesus is about relationship. Religion says you got to look good on the outside, but we don't much care about your heart. And relationship is about, it's all about your heart. And your heart will work its way out to the outside. And Jesus says, if you love me, everything else will line up, right? You know? And religion says, if you follow a certain code, if you follow certain rules, then you'll be okay with God. Religion is about how you look. And Jesus is about who you are. Religion is outward focused, and Jesus changes the inside, and the outside will transform. Religion is about making yourself clean and keeping yourself clean, and Jesus is about making you and keeping you clean. Religion thinks that actions will make you clean, and Jesus presents us clean before God through Jesus Christ. So the political and the religious, they get together, and Pilate goes back into his headquarters, and he calls for Jesus to come in front of him. And they brought Jesus to him, and he asks, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus didn't directly answer that question at that point. Pilate says, "There are a bunch of weird religious people out there that want to kill you. Won't you say something good about yourself? Won't you try to defend yourself here? Why don't you just say, 'No, I'm not the King of the Jews'?" Well, he couldn't say that because he was. He's the King of the world. We sang it this morning. Jesus was honest about who he was. And Pilate says, "Are you sure you want to stick with your story here, bud? Are you sure you want to stick with this story? So you are a king?" And then Jesus presents the gospel to him. And he says, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify of the truth." You see, Jesus wasn't confined to the king of a region. This is the king of the universe. He said, "I came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." Jesus said, "Pilate, I am the truth. I am the king of the world. I am not merely the king of the Jews. I don't care about this Roman kingdom. You can have it. My kingdom isn't of this world. It's much larger than that. I am the truth, and if you love me, you'll recognize the truth that I am. Jesus wouldn't stop talking about the good news and who he was. Sometimes we Christians, we continue to do good works, and that's all great and good and should be done. However, we do the good deeds, but we never say the good news. And good deeds certainly help and assist, but the good news saves. The good news provides eternity. Good deeds provide for a moment, but good news provides forever. May we never stop talking about Jesus and declaring the truth of who he is. May we do it humbly. May we do it so that others might know and receive Jesus into their life. Well, Pilate heard the truth, and he convicted Jesus rather than accepting him. Pilate turned to Jesus, and Jesus was saying, "Come on, you believe. Believe the truth, Pilate. Believe it." And Pilate, disappointedly, I assume after a long pause, said, "What is truth?" It's the great question, isn't it? What is truth? It's asked by many philosophers. It's asked on many, many fronts in life. What is truth? And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe in me, you'll have eternal life." And that's the truth. My word is truth, and if you live and walk in it, you'll please the Father. That's the truth. He said, "This is the truth. For God so loved the world that he sent me to come and die on a cross for you, that you may know the truth." That God loves you enough, cares for you enough, that he would send his only son to die for you. That if you would believe in him and respond to his truth, you will have eternal life. This is the truth. This is the truth of God's word. This is the truth of who Jesus is. And so today, if you're looking for truth, it is found in Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted him into your heart and into your life today, I encourage you to do so. Just merely ask him in this moment of prayer, and he will rush into your heart and life, and he will give you life like you have never known. New life, abundant life. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your grace and that you sent the way, the truth, and the life to us that we might have access to the Father. We thank you that he demonstrated his love by giving all of himself to us that we might have promise of eternal life with him forever. Now, Lord, I pray for those who may be thinking about making that step of faith across the threshold of faith and accepting Jesus. Give them the courage, Lord. May the Spirit draw them today. And may they find the truth in Jesus. May they accept it, believe it, and respond to it in Christ's precious name. And everyone said, Amen.